All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today we are talking about Calvin Ridley being out for the week 5 game between the Falcons and Jets, and how the Falcons, along with Arthur Smith, make the adjustment to deal with that absence.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong. However, on Twitter, at FalcFans, putting up weekly columns at The Falcoholic, the SB Nation website for the Atlanta Falcons. And, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Before we get into today's episode talking about how the Falcons deal with the loss of Calvin Ridley, how big a loss that is, whether or not the Falcons can essentially funnel their offense through Hayden Hurst and Kyle Pitts, and sort of what this week's upcoming matchup is going to inform us about Arthur Smith as a play caller and head coach, as our big topics to discuss on today's episode, I do want to thank you guys for making Locked On Falcons your first listen of the day. Of course, Locked On Falcons is free and available on all podcast platforms, as well as shortly will be up on YouTube. I believe currently my plan is, I don't want to make any promises, but my current plan is all steam ahead for Locked On Falcons to launch on YouTube this Sunday. So the rapid reaction to this Sunday's week 5 game between the Falcons and Jets will be the first full length video that you will be able to see up on the Locked On Falcons YouTube page. It is currently up already with a couple of short videos from the past couple of months. And so you can go ahead and already subscribe to that so that you don't miss that. Of course, hit that bell icon on YouTube so you don't miss the notifications. And for those of you that are concerned, oh no, Aaron's on YouTube, what does that mean for the audio version of the podcast? As far as I'm concerned, and maybe this will change later, but as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing going to change as far as the audio concerned. If you continue to listen to the audio podcast, they will continue to drop at the same time each and every night. You know, the Sunday shows will be as soon as I can get them up. And then, you know, Tuesday through Friday will drop at midnight of those respective nights. But what will probably wind up changing is, because I do record these episodes the night before, which is why they post at midnight, you know, probably the YouTube, the video versions of Locked On Falcons will be up available beforehand. So I don't know what time, you know, my schedule isn't as consistent as I would like to be able to promise, oh, it's going to be up at this time, each and every night. But, you know, right now I think 9 or 10 o'clock is a relatively safe, assumption in terms of when the video versions of the podcast will be up, but the audio will drop, you know, a few hours later at that point in time. And so if you are eager to get your Locked On Falcons a little bit sooner, you will have that opportunity, potentially with video. But again, this may be subject to change as I get more comfortable doing both the video and audio versions of this podcast. So that's some good news for you. But we got some bad news as far as the Falcons are concerned, with Calvin Ridley being ruled out for this week 5 game between the Falcons and Jets. We learned that news on Thursday. Ridley is dealing with a personal matter, an undisclosed personal matter. What that matter is, I have no idea. I'm not going to spend any time trying to speculate on that or make any assumptions on that. Hopefully for Calvin Ridley's sake, and hopefully for this team's sake, that matter gets resolved as soon as possible and that he can get back to playing football as soon as possible. Obviously, the loss of Ridley is a potentially devastating blow to this Falcons offense, given that their wide receiver group was already thinned by the ankle injury to Russell Gage. That is also going to keep him out of this Jets game this weekend. You know, this likely leaves Tajay Sharpe and Olamide Zaccheaus as the starting wide receivers this weekend. You'll probably see Christian Blake get those reps as the third wide receiver when the Falcons do decide to go with 3 wide receivers. We'll probably see Frank Darby active again, although he did not play last week when he was active. We will also probably see the team elevate one of their wide receivers from the practice squad to the roster by Sunday morning. And that could either be Jawan Green, which was the case a couple of weeks ago, Keelan Doss, or Austin Trammell. You know, and this won't be used as another opportunity for me to sit here and say, man, oh man, if only the Falcons could have signed a fast wide receiver like John Brown or Marvin Hall. But, you know, this is obviously a big deal because Ridley is clearly the team's number one wide receiver. He's leading the team with 42 targets. That puts him sixth currently in the NFL in terms of targets. We've talked about how often Matt Ryan has relied on checkdowns so far this year, with 29% of his pass attempts going to running backs like Cordarrelle Patterson, Mike Peterson, Wayne Gallman, and Keith Smith. And yes, you could certainly say that a handful of Patterson's targets have been when he's lined up out wide at wide receiver, but that would still only knock it down a couple of percentage points, and it still would probably be 25-26% of Matt Ryan's targets going to the running back position. And that is notable given that in 2020 only about 18% of all passing targets across the league went to running backs. So the Falcons are throwing the ball to the running backs considerably more than what the normal NFL average is, at least based off of 2020. And basically the way the math works out is that roughly 40% of Matt Ryan's non-checkdown throws, non-running back throws this year have gone in Calvin Ridley's direction. And so the Falcons are essentially going to have to find a way to make up for that 40% that they are not going to get from Calvin Ridley this weekend. And, you know, I don't feel like checking the ball down more to the running backs. Hopefully that 40% will not be filled by throwing the ball more to the running backs is going to help this team. As I have said several times throughout this past week, I don't think it's a coincidence that the Falcons offense looked the best it has looked all season long when they started to push the ball down the field a lot more than they had in the previous 3 weeks going up against this Washington team this last weekend. And Ridley is basically been their primary vertical threat. Matt Ryan has attempted 9 throws beyond 20 yards this season. 7 of those 9 have gone to Calvin Ridley, and roughly a third of Matt Ryan's throws beyond 10 to 20 yards have gone in Calvin Ridley's direction. So what this means is that the Falcons are going to have to find ways to challenge this Jets defense vertically. Otherwise, the Jets are going to basically stack the box, dare the Falcons to throw the ball down the field, and have absolutely no fear of the deep ball. And that's going to make it very easy to defend this Falcons offense. And, you know, that could lead to the Jets being more aggressive blitzing as well, because they're not going to be as fearful of giving up those big plays. That's one of the, you know, the give and take with blitzing. It's a kind of a live by the sword, die by the sword strategy, that the more you blitz, the more it tends to put your defensive backs on islands in more vulnerable situations. And if the Jets feel confident that their cornerbacks, not having to deal with Calvin Ridley, not having to deal with Russell Gage, can man up the Olamide Zaccheaus and Tajae Sharpe and Christian Blakes of the world, they can feel a lot more comfortable being more aggressive. And the last thing this Falcons offensive line needs to deal with is a much more aggressive blitzing team. As we've seen throughout so far this season, that has been a vulnerability that teams have been able to exploit, in addition to the vulnerabilities that we just simply get from when we're asking guys like Jalen Mayfield to block players like Quinnen Williams and or our tackles going up against their edge rushers and whatnot. So what it looks like is this team, this game is going to boil down to Kyle Pitts and or Hayden Hurst, you know, really stepping up and sort of filling that void left that the Falcons are going to have at the wide receiver position. And, you know, that's going to be what we're going to talk about, and sort of ways in which the Falcons can try to exploit those guys, and why those guys haven't quite lived up to expectations in terms of Hurst and Pitts so far this season. And we'll get into that as we continue today's Locked On Falcons podcast. But before we get there, guys, I want to let you know that all eyes are now on football now that the season is underway. And of course, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated website and interface and even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. We've already mentioned how the line started out between the Falcons and Jets, with the Falcons favored by 3.5 points. It moved to 3 points. Well, guess what, guys? It's now moved to 2.5 points, and that's probably related to this Calvin Ridley issue, and it may continue to move in that direction in the Jets' favor with the money going on the Jets here. And whether you feel good about this Falcon team or you want to join the masses and start putting your money on the Jets, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, baseball, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So we've already talked about how Ridley has essentially been the team's lone vertical threat, but he's also been critical for this Falcons offense on third downs. Ridley has accounted for 33% of Matt Ryan's third and fourth down targets so far this year and has accounted for nearly 40% of his successful conversions on those downs. The Falcons have been asking Hayden Hurst in particular to block a lot more this year than he did last year. According to Pro Football Focus, about 31% of Hayden Hurst's offensive snaps through 4 weeks this season have involved him run blocking, and about 9% has involved him pass blocking. Compare that to last year, that those numbers were 25% and 3% respectively. So this year you have about 40% of Hayden Hurst's snaps being blocking snaps. Last year it was 28%, and that number is actually lower in the first four games of the 2020 season. That we all actually saw Hayden Hurst block more in the second half of the season than we did in the first half of the season. But you know, you couple that with the fact that Hayden Hurst on average is getting 13 less snaps per game over the first month of this year than he was over the first month of last year. And it gets kind of back to the point I've made earlier on the podcast this week, which is, you know, if you thought Hayden Hurst was misused in the dirt cutter offense, then you probably absolutely hate how Hayden Hurst has been utilized in the Arthur Smith's offense so far this year. And so that definitely needs to change this week. And I think the Falcons definitely have a golden opportunity to get Hayden Hurst a lot more involved in the passing game this week with Ridley out of the lineup. You know, hopefully instead of the 36 snaps he's roughly been seeing on average so far this year, you're seeing something closer to 50 snaps, which is on par with what we saw from Hayden Hurst last year. And you hope that the larger percentage of those involve him running routes, because when you look at this receiver core, in terms of the guys that Matt Ryan has a strong rapport with Ridley out of the lineup and with Gage out of the lineup, Hayden Hurst and Pitts are basically his two guys. So, you know, much has been made over the last couple of months of Hayden Hurst's potential as a vertical threat at the tight end position. I've spent a lot of time over that 18-month period to kind of debunking that myth to a certain extent. You know, I didn't feel like Dirk Cutter misutilized Hayden Hurst in terms of utilizing him similar to how he utilized Austin Hooper, which was a lot more of that short and underneath stuff that tried to get him to make more plays after the catch than trying to ask him to be this vertical threat down the field. But if there is a week where Hayden Hurst can prove me wrong in that regard and be more of that vertical threat, this is the week to do so for the aforementioned reasons. And of course, this is also going to be the week that I think a lot of people are expecting Kyle Pitts to have his big breakout game. Now, Kyle Pitts is sixth among NFL tight ends currently in terms of both targets and receiving yards. So while we've had this narrative, and it's been oft discussed on this podcast and echoed by myself, that Kyle Pitts is having a disappointing season, to a certain extent, when you look at those numbers, maybe that point has been exaggerated a little bit too much. Kyle Pitts has been effective moving the chains in the Falcons offense so far this year, converting about 55% of his third and fourth down targets, which is second behind Calvin Ridley in terms of overall targets. His third and fourth down production, you know, compares favorably with some of the other top tight ends, whether you're looking at players like Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, Mike Gesicki, Jared Cook, those guys that are at the top of the league in terms of third down production so far this year. Pitts is very comparable to those guys. Now, it's really when we're talking about Kyle Pitts disappointing, it's not necessarily in his usage on third downs and moving the chains and whatnot. You know, maybe you can make the case the lack of vertical targets, but it's really in the red zone where Kyle Pitts is really disappointed. Ridley has 7 targets in the red zone this year. Pitts is right behind him with 6. But while Ridley has caught 5 of his red zone targets, Pitts has only caught 1. And of course, that 1 did not go for a touchdown. So right now, we haven't really seen Pitts take off in the red zone like we thought going into the season. You know, this week, assuming that the Falcons can move the ball effectively between the 20s, I think this is going to be a week where Pitts is going to get the call to be the guy that steps up in the red zone. And this is going to be the week where we need to see him step up in the red zone, in addition to him having to step up and fill that void as Matt Ryan's primary go-to option in terms of third and fourth downs, in terms of moving the chains. Using Pitts to stretch defense would also be something that will be a welcome change to the Falcons offense, given those aforementioned concerns about this team's ability to stretch defenses vertically. You know, I think the Falcons are going to have to find ways to be creative in how they utilize Kyle Pitts, moving him all around the formation, running certain plays designed to go to him, whether those are underneath throws designed to get him to make plays after the catch, like we saw in the preseason on his one catch there, or that continues to be the intermediate and deep routes to keep this Jets defense honest. We need to see all of the above. And while I do expect Olamide Zaccheaus and Tashi Sharpe to help step up and fill the Calvin Ridley-sized void in this Falcons offense, I don't expect you to be able to run your offense through those guys. And I know some of you are sitting here saying, what about Cordero Patterson? You should be saying, what about Cordero Patterson? Is this going to be a week where we see Cordero Patterson essentially be moved to wide receiver to help out this Falcons passing attacking? That means, you know, less reps at the running back position, which then puts pressure on the Mike Davisons and the Wayne Gallmans to carry the load there, as well as what Patterson can do at the wide receiver position. Now, you look at last week's game against Washington, 11 of the 14 plays in which Patterson was running a route, according to PFF, involved him lining up either in the slot or out wide at the wide receiver position. Of that, will we see a repeat of that where the majority of his routes run come as a wide receiver rather than a running back? Will we see that number go up in terms of the overall snaps? Instead of 14 snaps, do we see something like 25 snaps? Do we see something like 30 snaps? That's going to be an interesting question. And so that's going to, you know, with Cordero Patterson and his performance so far this season, he has thrived after the catch, particularly in weeks 2 and 3, where he was primarily working out of the backfield, you know, with 97%, I think, of his receiving yards in those 2 weeks combined coming after the catch. Last week, we saw that big bomb on the 42-yard touchdown. And so you sit there and say, hey, why can't we do that again? Maybe that covers our bases in terms of a vertical threat. Well, guess what, guys? As you may or may not recall, that was a blown coverage by Washington that allowed Cordero Patterson to get that open for that touchdown. Doesn't mean that had Washington not blown the coverage, he still wouldn't have made the play, but we don't know if he would have made the play. And you can bet your bottom dollar that the New York Jets will certainly be much more prepared to cover that type of route and that type of play this week than Washington was a week ago. So I'm definitely going to be curious to see how Arthur Smith makes his adjustments to deal with the absence of Calvin Ridley. I have been very critical of Arthur Smith's play calling throughout this season, and I think this game is a perfect litmus test to see how creative and capable Arthur Smith is as an offensive mind, and we will get more into some of my reservations about that as we continue today's Locked On Falcons podcast. But once again, guys, I want to thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen of the day, but might I give you a recommendation for your second listen of the day? And of course, you know, while things are not going particularly great for the Atlanta Falcons, you know, across town, you know, things are going pretty good for the Atlanta Braves. They, of course, kick off the NLDS on tonight. And so go check out the Locked On Braves to get you prepared for that game, as well as to get your reaction to whatever that game's results wind up being by checking out the Locked On Braves podcast. Or if you're a fan of any other baseball team, then of course there's a daily podcast for your favorite baseball team, whether they're in the playoffs or, you know, sitting at home, you know, drinking a beer, whatever baseball players do in their off season. I don't know, hit baseballs, whatever the case may be. You can find a daily podcast devoted to that team, your team, on the Locked On Podcast Network, on the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. So it's going to be important for this Falcons offensive line to get some push against this Jets unit. And of course, they could use some protein. And if you could use an extra protein boost to your diet, of course, Built Bar is the best place to go to find out. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. They have several delicious flavors. I'm a big fan of coconut almond, but maybe you prefer mint brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, double chocolate, peanut butter brownie, salted caramel, coconut or raspberry. There's something for everyone. And there's also occasional limited time flavors like Choro Puff and Cherry Lime on sale now. Built Bars are great because they taste just like a candy bar containing 100% real chocolate, but you get none of the guilt of eating a candy bar because Built Bars are healthy too. They're low in sugar, low in calories, high in protein, high in fiber. Go order yourself some today by heading over to the website at built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Now, when we talk about expectations for this Falcons offense, given the absence of Ridley, you know, I'm not expecting the Falcons to put up a ton of points, to be just as good as they would be with Ridley. Like, I wouldn't expect the Falcons to put up a 30 burger this week like they did against Washington. I don't think I would expect them to put up a 30 burger this week, even if Ridley was healthy and playing, even if Gage was healthy and playing this game. You know, I still would probably put my expectations somewhere in that 21 to 24 point range for this offense. But, you know, football's a game that is built around your ability to handle adversity, right? The simple way of looking at it is, you know, you got a 300-pound human being standing in front of you that wants to knock you down with as violently as possible. That's an inherently adverse situation. How do you deal with that? You know, you have one of the fastest human beings on the planet chasing you or running away from you. How do you deal with that type of adverse situations? And I think when it comes to the conversation surrounding fans, you know, I think one of the mistakes that they often make, particularly during the off season, when it's, you know, the season of hope, is that they generally think everything's going to go right. Right. And just to use some examples of some of the things that a lot of people thought would go right for the Falcons this year, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, you're looking at Russell Gage having that breakout 1,000-yard season. You're talking about Calvin Ridley having a breakout year and solidifying himself as one of the top 5 to 10 wide receivers in the league. Kyle Pitts having a historic rookie season. Hayden Hurst is going to blossom in this Arthur Smith offense because it's so tight end friendly. Mike Davis is going to put up career numbers and show that he is a legitimate starting caliber running back after basically spending most of his career as a number 2, if not number 3 running back. Matt Ryan is going to be reinvigorated in the same way that Ryan Tannehill was, and is going to bounce back and have this top 5-ish type of season under Arthur Smith. And, you know, that's just on the offensive side of the ball. We could probably break down a half dozen things on the defensive side of the ball as well that people thought going into the season, but let's just go with the general one of Dean Pease is going to fix it, right? And so it's not to sit here and look at those 7 things that I just named and be dismissive of them, but, you know, a lot of fans, you know, probably went into the season, or at least the summer, thinking that, you know, the majority, if not all of those 7 things were going to happen. And part of my pessimism stems from generally, like, I don't look at those 7 things. It's like those 7 things aren't going to happen. You know, it's possible that it could, but more than likely, you're only going to get probably like 2 or 3 of those things that's going to happen. And one of the things that I try to pride myself on this podcast is trying to, you know, figure out what are the 2 or 3 most likely things out of those 7 things that we're talking about that could happen. And if you listen to this podcast over the last 6 months, you know, generally speaking, it was the Calvin Ridley breakout season, the Kyle Pitts historic rookie season, and Matt Ryan having that rebound season as the 2 or 3 that I was most confident in happening this upcoming season. And part of my disappointment with the Arthur Smith regime, especially when you look at the 6 things I named, you know, surrounding the offense, none of those things have essentially come true. The only thing that's really come true, and I don't know if there was a lot of offseason hype for this, was that Cordero Patterson somehow is become this, you know, all world, all class weapon for this Falcons offense. And so that's the one thing that's really come through for this Falcons offense so far this season. And that's disappointing to me with Arthur Smith. Now, we know it's a long season, and obviously there's a lot of football left to be played, and certainly things will change over the course of the next 13 games. And, you know, the real conversation is going to be, how do we feel about Arthur Smith in this offense and this team, you know, come December and January versus how we feel about them currently in September and October. So that obviously is a caveat that must be said, but the bottom line is the Falcons really haven't done a great job dealing with the adversity that has faced them so far this year. And I think this week is another golden opportunity for Arthur Smith to kind of change the narrative in that regard. And it gets to an issue that has been gnawing at the back of my mind. There's several issues that have been gnawing at the back of my mind. And I suspect over the next several days and or weeks, we will start to unwrap and unpack some of those issues that have been sort of nagging at me at the back of my mind. But, you know, let's talk about this one thing that at least is a little bit more topical. And my concern when I look at Arthur Smith holistically, as a whole through, you know, 4 games so far into his NFL career as a head coach, it's kind of reminiscent. It's, you know, the thing that's nagging me is it feels similar to Mike Smith, and not the early years of Mike Smith, but more like the 2013 Mike Smith. Right. The type of coach that we talked about, or at least my conclusion watching that 2013 season, was like, Mike Smith is a good coach, but he needs a certain type of team in order to be a successful coach and win games. And we saw that types of teams on display in Atlanta from 2008 to 2012 in Mike Smith's first years. In large part, those were teams that, you know, offensively were effective because they could run the ball for the most part. They were very efficient in moving the chains through the air, and they generally had competent to above average defenses that could allow the team to, you know, play with a lead. And given those teams' ability to be smart and disciplined, they didn't turn the ball over, they didn't get a lot of mental errors and penalties and whatnot, that they would be in a position late in games to get one of those patented Matt Ryan game-winning drives, you know, capped off with a patented game-winning field goal from Matt Bryant. And, you know, in 2013, and particularly once injuries struck, particularly at the wide receiver position with Julio Jones and Roddy White, the team, you know, struggled to run the football, especially injuries in part due to Steven Jackson, as well as his replacement. And they weren't able to throw the ball effectively. You had bigger issues on the offensive line. And of course, you didn't necessarily have a defense that could, you know, hold leads early in games and keep things close. And that only got exasperated in 2014 as well. You know, it feels like this year's Falcons team is very similar to those 2013 and 2014 Mike Smith Falcons teams. And, you know, a point that people constantly bring up, and it's a fair point to make, is that this team struggles with talent. That was, to me, a big part of why those Mike Smith, those later Mike Smith teams struggled, because they just didn't have the same caliber of talent in 2013 and 2014 that they did over the first couple of years there, in part due to injuries, in part due to attrition, in part due to poor drafting and whatnot. And we can sit here and say, like, you know, Arthur Smith's number one obstacle is the lack of talent. I think that makes a ton of sense, but I think at times we can use that as a little bit too much of a lazy excuse, a scapegoat, if you were to say, because, you know, we've spent basically the last year insisting that the number one issue with the Falcons was coaching. And then all of a sudden, when they got a new coach and the team didn't really show any improvement, quickly we did a pull to 180. Said the number one issue that the Falcons are dealing with is a lack of talent. And we'll spend the next 6 months or so, or next year or so, convincing ourselves that it's all a talent issue. And just as long as Arthur Smith gets the talent, and that may wind up being true. But the question is going to be, you know, how long a timeline is it going to take for this Arthur Smith team to accumulate said talent? Is it going to take 3 or 4 years to get the type of talent that Arthur Smith, based off of what he has shown so far, needs in order to be a successful team? Can he be a successful coach and a successful offense if this team can't run the ball effectively? If this team doesn't have a great offensive line? If this team doesn't have playmakers at the wide receiver position? Is that something that you can just get overnight? Is that something that the Falcons are going to magically solve, you know, 6 months from now when in free agency in the draft, right? You know, and then let alone the issues that the Falcons have on defense with the need for pass rush, the need for more playmakers in the secondary, the need that they may wind up having to replace both of their starters at linebacker next year, you know? And so there's this timeline, you know, this is the thing that nags me at the back of my mind, where it's like, you know, what is this timeline for this Falcon team to get the talent that they need to be a successful team? If that is the core issue, is that 3 or 4 years? Is that 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever the case may be? And if it's one of those longer periods of time, 3 or 4 years, you know, how do we know that Arthur Smith is still going to be around if he can't meet us halfway and be able to consistently elevate the talent that currently is here in Atlanta and will be here in Atlanta to play at a much higher level? And so I think this week really does, you know, represent a perfect opportunity for Arthur Smith to show that, look, I can elevate this team. Again, not expecting this team to drop 30 points or anything like that, but if he can get, you know, a Calvin Ridley-less Falcons offense to 20 plus points against a pretty solid Jets defense, that to me is a win. But we're at a point in the season where beggars can't be choosers, and a win is a win. And even if that means that the Falcons win this game 9-7 or something like that, then we'll take what we can get at this point in time. But it does sort of inform me a little bit about this Arthur Smith team. And I don't want to necessarily make it out to be like this game will decide whether or not Arthur Smith was the right hire or anything like that. But, you know, that 2013 season, I think back to it, and that was the year where I was over, right, Mike Smith and Dirk Cutter, because basically to me, the problem I had with that team and that regime in that particular season was that they continued to run the same sort of conservative, you know, offense and identity that they had had in previous years that they were very successful running, But they couldn't run that style of offense in 2013 when they had the injuries to Roddy and Julio Jones. You can't run the same offense with Roddy and Julio Jones when you have Harry Douglas and Drew Davis, right? And the other issues. And so what I wanted to see was, instead of a team that was trying to put together these 10-play methodical drives that they were so good at doing, particularly in 2012, I wanted to see a team that was a lot more aggressive and willing to take more shots down the field early in games, hoping to get off to these fast starts, because they didn't have a defense that could play with a lead. You know, they would eventually lose if they didn't get off to a fast start. You know, it would be, they would be down by the time we got to halftime, and then that would completely eviscerate whatever their game plan was. And we didn't really see that from that team, particularly during that stretch of games when Julio and Roddy were out of the lineup. And that's why the Falcons went 1-5 during that 6-game stretch. And my concern with Arthur Smith is, I think this game gives a golden opportunity to see what type of adjustments does he make. Is he going to be the type of coach that continues to try to stick with, you know, what got you here, you know, trying to run the football, dinking and dunking, you know, or is he going to be a little bit more aggressive? Is he going to be a little bit more creative with how he's utilized Kyle Pitts and whatnot? And is this going to be a game where Kyle Pitts goes out and catches like 12 passes or whatever the case may be for a big game? Does Hayden Hurst have this, you know, 6 or 7 catch game or whatever the case may be? Again, we can sit here and speculate all we want. But like, to me, again, not trying to sit here and say everything boils down to this one game and we'll know if Arthur Smith was the right hire or not. But I think this game is a golden opportunity for Arthur Smith to at least say, look, I can make adjustments. I can deal with the adversity. And so for me, even if the Falcons don't necessarily go out there and execute it, from my perspective, you do get points for trying. You do get credit for trying. And so, you know, whether we see that obviously on Sunday, or, you know, I have to go back and watch the film and say, okay, the Falcons designed up this one play and this was supposed to be their shot play, and unfortunately, because the blocking broke down, or, you know, the guy didn't get open, or whatever the case may be, they didn't execute, or Matt Ryan missed the throw, or whatever the case may be, whatever extenuating circumstances, it didn't work. But at least Arthur Smith held his end of the bargain. And then that would be a situation where it's like, okay, with more talented players, John Brown, Marvin Hall, you know, maybe we would go out there and see this team be able to execute that style of offense that Arthur Smith was able to dial up. So I want to see, you know, if this offense can keep this momentum going, coming off of their best game of the season, or does it sort of get derailed because of this Calvin Ridley injury? And so that's going to be my big question heading into the weekend, and we'll see how things fare. And of course, the next time you actually may hear me and see me, maybe on YouTube here on the Locked On Falcons YouTube channel. So go, again, go subscribe right now. You can do so ahead of time so that you don't miss that launch potentially on Sunday. And of course, want to thank you guys for making Locked On Falcons your first listen. And of course, another recommendation for your potential second listen is the Peacock and Williamson podcast, one of the national shows covering all 32 teams in the NFL, where you get insight from NFL analysts Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson. Of course, getting their thoughts on these potential matchups heading into the weekend, as well as the major roster moves, Stephon Gilmore trade, Jalen Smith release, all these various things that occurred over this week and many more. So check out the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of Locked On Podcast Network. And of course, you can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So there you guys have it. Unfortunately, we didn't get to the All 22 this week due to circumstances, but you know, we'll see if we can fold over the lessons I learned this week into future weeks and whatnot, and we may hearken back to some of the things that I saw in this Washington game. And hopefully, you know, we'll have some positive film to review next week on the podcast from this Jets game. So appreciate you guys for tuning in. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you enjoy, you know, your morning of Falcons football, and you get an afternoon where you can just take it easy and watch all the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games before you check me out on YouTube. And you know, you're worry free. Which usually is the case after a Falcons win, but we'll see how that plays out. Of course, I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Until then.